Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 12.29, He Who Deflates Behind, where we are covering the novel Blood Rites. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
I was 12 going on 13 the first time I saw a dead human being.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Hey guys, happy 3-year anniversary of the podcast.
Woo-woo!
Yes!
Between this episode and the next, March 26th, our first episode came out. Very exciting.
It's like we've been doing this a while now.
It feels like it's been a day and a half.
It has not taken us 9 months just to get through the last book.
We've stopped mathing for a reason.
Right? Just don't count how long it takes us to get through everything.
We'll get there. We'll get there. And we wouldn't be able to get there without you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Seriously. Some of you have actually been listening the entire 3 years.
Which is crazy.
The rest of you have been listening still for quite a significant amount of time. People are talking to us in the Discord every day, all the time. And we really appreciate it. And everyone who doesn't want to come talk to us, thank you for just listening.
Yeah.
Super appreciated. Absolutely.
You guys rock. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
so
you guys.
Much. Thank you guys.
We're having a lot of fun.
So much.
We're committed to at least 3 more years. We'll see where we are then.
And by then we'll be done deadbeat, so.
Just barely.
We'll have better technology by then.
Build it better, faster, stronger.
Work it harder.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Woo!
Chapter 41. Harry distracts Wraith to allow Murphy to break the magic circle and partially free Thomas. Harry is able to disarm Madge and Wraith before they can complete the entropy spell and the summoning of He Who Walks Behind. Harry taunts Wraith into admitting he is close to powerless in front of a hiding Lara, who decides to take advantage of this information and seize power. Dresden, Murphy, and Thomas escape, and Harry lets Thomas know Justine is alive, giving him the will to continue to live.
Fun fact about the White Court. They can see in the dark.
What?
Shit.
Damn it.
Now you know, Harry.
Now you know.
And they like to brag about it, too.
Totally. But he throws out a compliment, at least, you know? He's like, I wasn't expecting the brute attack. Right? Once again, figured you'd be totally indoctrinated by all your White Council shit, that you'd be all magic, 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 magic. Never saw you slugging me with a bunch of manacles.
Joke's on you.
Harry's like, I know, right? This is why I keep doing this.
This is what I keep telling people.
Exactly. They don't like me. They didn't want to train me. I hit things with bats.
I didn't like them. I didn't want to be trained by them.
Mutual.
Yeah.
And then Harry starts doing some pretty ballsy shit. Let's make a deal, Wraith. I know that you're weak as fuck. You know that you're weak as fuck.
You know that I know that you're weak as fuck.
And obviously Wraith is like, okay, bitch, we're 2 minutes out from me having all my power back, okay? Say whatever right. You want.
And I mean, I kind of get it, because he's like, all right, what do you want to do? And he's like, I get to walk, Murphy gets to walk, Thomas gets to walk, and he's like, you leave Arturo alone, and Wraith's like, what the fuck do I get?
Why?
And really, here, I mean, yes, it's a big thing, but it's also in comparison, you know, you
Wraith,
get to live.
You also get to walk.
Yeah.
Your life.
Right. Which, I mean, yes.
Fair point. He is not going to live through a second death curse.
Well, right. That not is likely, thing, at least. But yeah, I do have to admit, sort of from Wraith's point of view, is you're right. It sounds like kind of a shit deal on the, like, you get da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I get da. But at the same time, I'm like, it's kind of a big da. So, you know.
Life.
But apparently Wraith is like, not sweet enough. You got to do better.
Yeah. I sense a ploy.
What? Right. Nobody's going to die? That's boring. After all this work.
And yeah, he's still very confident at this point that he's still coming out ahead of this. It's like, whatever. It's all about to change. I'm like, I'm going to get my life and get to kill you and get to kill Mervy and probably get to kill Madge if I feel like it, but I'm not going to tell it to her right now. And get Arturo back in the fight.
Meanwhile,
she'll be supper number two.
She's chanting in the background this whole time.
She's still going, Greg. She's like, I tried. She's like, I made big eyeballs over at Murphy, but should have made big eyeballs over at Dresden, but doesn't matter because he just turned all the lights out and made it a moot point anyways.
Yeah, so here's a moment for me that freaked me the fuck out. I had completely forgotten in all my rereads and in everything. It was like completely surprised to me when we first started recording this, like in August or something like that.
It was not that long ago.
September is when the episode came out, so I started reading this in August.
Damn, time flies.
Yeah. So in August, when we first started this book, I just read the whole thing in one sit down, and oh my god, He Who Walks Behind, I forgot about that. I forgot this whole book. That's who the fuck has been doing it this whole time.
That's...
I got to that point, and I totally yelled. I'm down here writing my notes. I was like, oh fuck!
Yeah, what? Yeah. Me too. I was like in my car listening to the audiobook, and I was like, oh my god, that's who it was. I forgot. Completely went the whole book, totally forgetting that's who the demon was. This whole book, I was like, I don't even know. It's just going to be some random demon, whatever.
And Harry did the same thing, too.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's some random demon. A
kind
random demon
a
I have
deal.
Beef with.
Kind of a big deal.
But we also know he can at least be defeated. It happened once. It can happen again.
When he was like 16, no less.
And it wasn't easy. And he also had made a deal with Leah to get a whole bunch of extra juice in order.
Leah, Lara, whatever.
Was that
just
finite? Like, or did he keep it? When he made that deal, was it just for the one occasion?
It was the one occasion.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, because he doesn't... Well, he keeps saying he's got power and oomph. I don't think he's walking around every day since then with enough power to take out a walker, right?
Yeah. So,
I think it was more to deal with that situation at that time.
And Lara...
It was more like, give me the loaded gun.
Leah keeps trying to make a new deal with him, right? It wouldn't need to if the first one was still in effect.
Right. Makes sense. Okay.
You can always have more power, though, I guess. Still. You can always get like, bigger. But yeah. No, I think it was
so,
finite,
yeah.
As you say.
He who walks behind. The entity that Justin Dumorn summoned when he was 16 to go off and kill Harry, and that Harry was forced to then call up a fairy godmother and ask for extra power in order to defeat him.
Who is now annoyed because he got defeated. You, I know you.
And I...
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I was going to say, I like how for our sake, too, that after all this, like, otherworldly chanting, she now can switch into English just so that we know
just
what's going
end.
On. Yeah. I'm sure it's more powerful, you know, if you say what you want in your own words, in your own...
Just personalizing it.
I am capital A afraid.
Okay, but it's... I'm sure the moment it would be in the dark, spooky cave with shit going down, but on its own, it doesn't sound that scary. You know, she's like, oh, hunter of the shadows, crowd need of thy strength, lord of slowest terror. I get it's a terror that would be slow, but I mean, it just doesn't sound like this is a big giant sloth. Oh, lord,
No.
The slowest terror. This stuff is just... coming at you and slow.
That infamous internet meme about the snail that is always after you.
Right.
You get like $100 million, but there's a snail always after you, and the snail can always catch up to you no matter what. It still goes at a snail's pace, but if you go to the moon, the snail's gonna find a way to the moon, okay? Go to Antarctica, snail's gonna find a way to Antarctica.
But it's a snail.
Yep. It's a magic snail.
People dislike snails that much?
What, just a slow thing.
I have $100 million. What do I care if it's a snail? following me around.
Right. But if the snail touches you, you die. So you have to be always vigilant.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that makes more sense.
There are other rules to it. Because some people are like, I'm just going to put it under a glass. But no, it can't.
No, it's real life.
Okay. If a snail touches you, you die. I shouldn't have to say that out loud because that's just regular.
Okay. Well, this
life.
Is why I was asking if you didn't like snails. Because, okay, so in your weird little wonky world where you can't touch a snail, now you've got a snail constantly following you. All right. Now I get it. Apparently I missed the thing. Jesus.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that.
Very famous internet meme. It's okay.
No name.
We'll show you where it originated from after this.
So, okay. So, apparently she's calling up the Snail of Doom and...
the slowest terror.
But then... But,
I'm glad you brought it back because I couldn't remember why we brought it up.
Master Craftsman of Death. I'm like, all I can think of is like a Canadian Tire commercial. Because their brand is Mastercraft.
Right, okay.
So, I get this is supposed to be all shit's coming down, but again, in my, yeah, slowest terror master craftsman. I'm like, all of a sudden, this guy's like got a table saw, but it's going to be like this, like a millennia for it to reach you. It's coming. I don't know. But then she, you beat it with the last light of he who walks behind, and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, okay, no, that is scary.
Oh fuck. It's a good shock moment.
Well, she's gonna sacrifice Thomas to fuel he who walks behind to kill Harry.
Well, and it's, we get, aside from this little...
I meant to ask about this. Is this still an entropy curse, or are they just summoning?
No, so this is what they are. This is the thing that they're summoning to make it happen.
Okay, so...
So they call up this curse. So before, it's all the ritual stuff. We've lighted candles.
So in the past ones, they still called upon he who walks behind to provide this.
They were just giving him whatever else.
Okay, so this isn't a different
magic
one,
burnt
just
offering.
On their occasion. Okay.
It's like middleman to middleman to middleman to death.
Yeah-ish.
Nobody actually wants to get their hands dirty except for he who.
Right, exactly. But just part of this, so when he find out that Wraith can indeed see them, Harry starts trying his whole echolocation thing. He's trying to get him to talk so he can pin him down. Turns out not so easy.
He's clicking?
Echolocation.
Just because that's how some creatures use echolocation.
Bats. Vampires.
Whales. Dolphins.
Vampires.
Where are you?
It's moments like Dory? Music, which we did have video because you all needed to see. The facial contortions. Yes, but he's trying to get a beat on where he is. And after their little back and forth, Wraith then suddenly goes quiet. And Harry's like, oh shit, it's this whole stomach-dropping moment of, oh fuck, he knows I'm trying to find him, and now he's just gone quiet and he can be all quiet. Right? And
also,
then she calls up, he walks behind, he's like, yeah, and there goes the rest of it. And he's like, turns out there was a second floor dropping out of that stomach, and now he's like, even more. So now he's got Wraith creeping around in the darkness.
Well, and I also took that as he said something that Wraith couldn't act, he didn't want to affirm, so he said nothing.
Well, it doesn't want to give away the location.
No, because they're going back and forth. He's like, oh, such a generous offer. I can only assume this is some sort of clumsy ploy. And he's like, and then Dresden is like, you aren't in a good enough shape for it to be that easy, or you wouldn't have let me stall you while we batted bullshit back and forth. In answer, Wraith said absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so I took that as, like, Wraith's like, fuck you.
Yes.
I guess a little bit as well, yeah. He just has nothing to say to that, because he doesn't want to confirm or deny. But also, it's time to get scary and do the killing. Shut the fuck up now.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly it. He's like, you wouldn't let me bat you. And so this is his answer to it is, oh, you didn't stall me while we were batting back. You know what I mean? He's, I let you talk your mouth off. I know where you are, but
okay.
You don't know where I am.
Again, no matter how much Harry wants to talk, okay, this 8 minutes has been counting down since we got into this thing, and now we're at, like, 1 minute. And also, Murphy, remember how you said you wanted to run 1 minute ago? Let's do that now. Let's go.
Lord of slowest terror.
Takes him 13 minutes to get to midnight.
This 8 minutes is kind of...
Anticipation. Sometimes that's the scariest part.
Anticipation.
Legendary. So, turns out that he walks behind as a demon. But not just a demon. He's a demon, the way the horror movie hockey mask slasher killers are to your grade school bully. So apparently it's a magnitude above that.
He's a walker.
He's a big bad. And we haven't covered walkers yet, have we?
No, we don't know anything about him until next chapter.
Dun, 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 dun. Well,
watch.
Not No, not what walkers are. Yeah, we know he who walks behind has been a problem and that he's a walker. But yes, what the definition of walkers are in all of this, not particularly, no.
Okay. So Murphy's been working hard. She's put those keys to good use and is trying to free Thomas now, which is something at least.
Right.
She suddenly sneaks up out of the darkness into Madge's little... And so now, in order to get to Thomas, she has disrupted that outer part of the circle that Harry was talking about before, which right. is okay. So he's like, we don't want to mess up the inner circle, because that's where it just all goes kablooey. But now that she's reached more of the end of it, now when she calls him up, he's like, now that outer circle is... So this is the thing, identically, because the inner circle is still kind of... So okay, I get you're not interrupting it mid-mix anymore. It's not going to explode on her. But now once it's formed, is it not still in that inner circle? But because the outer circle is broken, now it's just still free to go over...
Was there two circles?
Yeah.
I didn't really kind of understand that. I did have to, like, read through it. I still don't understand.
So she...
Because okay, I thought okay. it was a triangle okay. with a circle. I didn't realize there was two. But if you disturb the circle, it like...
So it's...
It means there's no slowing it down. It's just going to go straight out.
Yeah. It's a little bit like leaving the top off your blender kind of a thing. So if you get all your stuff in there, okay. if it's in the blender, it's, like, contained... When you've got the lid on, it's also, so it's like you can...
Once the blender's going and centrifugal force is happening, you can take the lid off potentially safely, but it has to already be going
at that
speed.
But yeah, but once you try and go okay. up or down and change that, that's when everything comes flying out of it, right? So it's kind of like a sumper.
So the triangle is a circle as well. It's a contained force, right?
Right.
And the circle is a contained force, but you can walk over one before it's like the center of the gravity of the explosion. Right. I don't know, and it really doesn't matter anymore. The fucking ritual is basically happening and is upon us.
Right.
Here's a good reason for bringing a cop with you. She can fumble with handcuffs in the dark.
There's candles around.
So can Thomas.
This is how we know that Murphy is snuck up, because there's enough light because of the ring of candles.
Okay. Right. But still,
so
I
only
feel
semi-darkness, okay?
If anyone needs to not look for the key and know how to manage the handcuffs, okay, Murphy's got this, okay?
I think she's got a nice advantage, because I think Wraith just assumes that she's completely useless.
Yeah.
And has no idea that she's actually, pretty functional still.
It's true. Michael or another one might have just got their throat slit immediately. But a girl will save her for after.
Well, and that,
she's under my control. I don't need to worry about her.
Yeah, she does say in their initial little powwow how, yeah, he underestimated her. But yes and no, because that was the whole thing, is when Wraith first came back, is Murphy, because Madge was doing the funky eyeballs over at Murphy. So he turns to Murphy, who tries to shoot or did shoot him or whatever, right? And then here.
Right.
So.
But he can't.
He's
do both of them.
She's, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that he completely counted her out 100%, but yes, figures he can either still get her or she's not as capable or she's not.
Harry's clearly the bigger
fish. He's still
in the
under
room.
Some control or something like that, but yeah.
Yeah. She's got some good time right now.
Like, well, you have a point about the cop in the cuffs, but apparently supernatural sex demon, sex vampire people have like every kind, because she still has to fumble through a couple. So apparently their handcuff collection far exceeds even what, because she can't go straight to the for between the manacles and the cuffs and the play cuffs mm-hmm. and the foreign made cuffs and the locally made.
I was wondering, I was like, how many different kind of handcuff cuffs?
I was gonna say, this is a fairly
pretty universal.
We've already Googled this and we know that they're not 100% universal, but they're mostly
right.
universal.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. We did have that.
But this is what I'm saying.
I have a handcuff key
right
up in there still. I used to work security.
Yeah, uh-huh. You keep saying that.
Okay. Whatever.
Actually, I've got two. I've got the original one, but then I bought the fancy one that's at my...
And I keep trying to tell you,
and
security handcuffs don't come for print padding. But okay, Tanzan.
You never use real handcuffs for any kind of play like that. It's super dangerous. Don't ever do that, people. Just don't.
But I'm thinking, yeah, again, you got to get a razor, you know, around a long time, very international. He's got to have cuffs from, like, all over the world, right?
He's been collecting cuffs for 500 years.
I was going to say, universally, they're, you know.
And they describe it as manacles, so it's...
Well, the ones that, yeah, right? Harry's have had manacles. Thomas is right.
1850.
Exactly my point.
Probably should have just looked for the wrought iron one, really.
But again, there's probably a few. And the wrought iron one from the 1400s is slightly different from the wrought iron one from the 1500s, which is...
Wait, this one has a little bit of melding into it, of a different...
Right. You can see where we start discovering other metals and how to mix things and make alloys. And so anyways, but yes.
Harry manages to use some magic to at least knock the knife out of her hand before she can, you know, ritually sacrifice Thomas to it.
Yes.
So that's, you know, thanks for the help, Harry. That was great.
Oh my God, I thought Murphy was dead the first time I read that. Where I had to, like, go back. I was like, what, who? Because where Wraith goes and, like, like the neck snapping, the first neck snapping part was like, holy shit, is she dead? And is it Matt?
Oh, well,
who just got knocked out?
See, and this comes back to what we were saying before. Murphy gives an almighty kick, and Barbie goes down for the count. Wraith, a supernatural badass with supernatural power who still has some of that extra juice, is also a man, is also much bigger than Murphy, gives her a kick to the head.
A boot to the head.
And Murphy's like, oh, I'm just going to sleep this off for a minute. You guys go ahead. So, right, like...
His angles are wrong. He hasn't been in a keto since he was 10.
11. Obviously. Is
Fucking shoot me.
I'm just saying. I will. Or I will. Dude, I just round
the magic of editing.
But as far as we know, we don't know. I don't know. Murphy's down. Maybe she's dead. Maybe she isn't. I don't know. Suspense. But Madge is pissed. I was going to use that knife. I was using that knife. That was mine. Get your own.
That was the other thing. Like, Wraith pulling out another knife. I was like, there's another knife. Where the... And then I remember before when outside, the one he used against.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah. So many knives.
There are. Well, yeah. Wraith had the one he was using on Murphy. Murphy took a gun and a knife.
From Barbie.
Oh, right.
Madge has the ritual knife that Harry just knocked out of her hand.
Harry's got a sword cane.
But he hasn't given that to Wraith yet.
So many knives.
But yes, yeah, there's a few of them bopping around. So whether he's got his own from before, takes Murphy's, grabs Madge's, he's whatever.
Just keeps them stuffed in the pillows.
He's like, I
don't feel so bad anymore now.
Yeah.
There's even more than I thought.
There was knives coming out of everywhere, and Captain Harkness would probably not want to store that in the same place as the gun.
So Harry's like, well, best thing's only plan. Let's throw keys at people's faces. And he says, here, anyone will tell you, keys can be a heart. I don't know, though.
Apparently all Street Fighters use keys.
Jingle jangle of keys. Yeah, sure, you don't want to get poked in the eye, but I don't think I could toss keys at a milk jug and puncture in a couple of spots.
Is he using magic to throw them, too? Because he says it catches them and does it again, so...
Yeah, so hang on. So he says, so Murphy gets one arm free, so because Thomas manages to stop, so he's got the one arm and that's it. And Thomas is all like, break the chains! And Harry's like, great idea! I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not focused enough. I'm not whatever the problem is. He can't manage that. Right? So he used this earth magic to like magnetize whatever and push the knife away. So this is now what he's doing, right? So he's like, I can't just bust the chains out, but I can manipulate this keychain.
Right.
So that is what he picks up with his earth magic.
Okay.
So yes, he picks that up as a magnet-y kind
of... Was the
because yes, case. Then he starts moving. So
I guess he might have a little bit more velocity behind it than just, like, throwing
Yeah,
it.
But his sentence is, you don't even have to do it that harsh.
Are you picturing our plastic milk jugs or a paper milk carton?
I tried to picture both, and I don't think either or. Yeah.
I feel like
the bag kind.
Never mind. Totally possible.
Because I feel like, maybe not, like, shredded, but I feel like, yes, but... Depends, folks, on who you are and what your keychain is like, I'm sure. Now, again, this one has to be a fairly substantial one because it's got a whole bunch of keys on it. They keep having to rifle through to figure out which one. I have a fairly big keychain with lots of stuff on it. I feel like, yeah, if there was, like, a cardboard milk carton and I hucked my keys at that thing, I could see puncturing it to some point.
We go outside.
I got five keys and a couple of extra bullshit on it. And I think if I chucked this in a milk carton, I wouldn't do crap.
I think I'd still flinch if you threw that at me.
No, definitely.
Yeah, I didn't actually mean to actually throw it. It just went out of my hand.
I had my eyes closed because I was flinching.
I did not mean to release the keys. There was too much force behind it and they went out of my hand.
My eye!
Oh my god, there's punctures all over her.
I feel that it's, again, I don't know how easy it would be. And
I'm sure with a lot of force you could do it.
I don't know if you're scared and whatever. I think if you take it, because we do know how much it hurts. And it doesn't, right? I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you throw a milk carton out a two-story window and it managed to land perfectly and it's fine. You bump it on the door frame, putting it into the car and it explodes and you've got milk everywhere, right? So, you know, I feel that, yeah...
Sometimes you kick someone in the head and they die. Sometimes you kick someone in the head and nothing happens.
No, exactly, right? So
I'm gonna blame the magic.
To be fair to Barbie, though, we don't know that she died. They just threw her in the hole.
And maybe he pulled her.
No, he said that was not whiplash. He's like, they busted her neck. She was dead. We dumped her over.
Okay.
Yeah, she was
dead. They have to take responsibility for the death. Maybe I should reread that because I was like, maybe she's not dead. And then I read that part. I was like, oh no, she's dead.
Definitely dead. She's definitely dead. But yes, maybe not for most of us in the average, but I feel like there's definitely possibility that you could pick up a hunk of keys, whip him at a... Because you don't have to be that far from somebody, you know, just because Harry's doing it from across the room, most of us wouldn't be. If we were standing face to face and I hurled...
Even if you toss keys, sometimes it like really sucks to catch them too, right?
And that's the thing, right? Even if it wouldn't puncture a milk carton kind of a thing, definitely as far as skin and... Right? You know what? When somebody tosses you their keychain and you catch it, and you're like, ow, because you feel that in your hand. Definitely coming at your face, which is a lot...
We're a bunch of babies. No, don't throw the keys at me. It's going to slightly hurt my hand.
So is Wraith.
I know this because I touched a marshmallow at you earlier and you flinched. But yeah, definitely picking these things up and whipping them at your face, regardless of what you could do to a milk carton.
It's pretty efficient. Like, not only smacks them twice, but then he, like, tosses it to Thomas to be able to, like, help himself out.
Thomas is okay catching keys out of the air.
Right? I'm sorry, Thomas has super strength?
No dishpan hands.
Multi-purpose weapon. Beat the shit out of Wraith a little bit. Also, here you go, Thomas, finish unlocking yourself. Even this, though, it's because Madge, in the meantime, when Wraith is all like, stop him, she throws herself on Thomas because he's just got the one arm free. Wraith starts coming down, Harry manages to stop it, but it's already cut. And then he can't like the angle and stuff. So he's basically got to shoot it off to the side. And he basically just has him dig a shallow one, but basically just digs this furrow with the knife all across Thomas's chest. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, okay, buddy? And then, I'm like, yes, better than plunging it all the way in, better than death. I'm still like...
Kind of comical, really.
Oh,
He's all about the angles, this book. He's like, well, I can't stop it, but I can move it to the side.
But that part is just... Yeah, I don't like that part about him just kind of gouging it across Thomas's chest.
Sorry, that sucked.
But yeah, so now he's like, okay, here, I'll give you the keys. And you can
get it. Figure it out, man.
Thomas is like, can we not? Like, with the, like, I get you're helping, dude, but ow.
So, he who walks behind, still around.
And hungry, apparently.
He, like, possesses Madge and makes her facial features do his weird demon facial features. Ugh. I don't even want to imagine what that's like.
Ew.
I really can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's gross
and spiny. It doesn't work at all.
It's not good. It's
just
not...
the spines toward her. I don't want to be ripped apart as I die.
Right. It's not a great way to go, no.
Ow.
And she's probably assuming, well, if I'm going to die, it's probably by, you know, a white court vampire. It'll be fine.
Yeah, right?
Nope.
Who are we kidding? She's all in control. She's like, I'm not dying.
No, she never thought. She totally thought her and Wraith were such a perfect team.
Buddy, buddy, yeah.
No problem. We both get what we want out of this.
She's right.
She thinks that she's part of the Harry Lara deal, but she's not.
Right.
It's just a win-win for everyone, and we all walk away happy.
Nope.
And so just like Trixie didn't get to scream, Madge doesn't get to scream.
No.
Blah, gross.
Then we get like the surprise moment of...
This book has a lot of death, like a lot of individual deaths.
Right?
It does.
So many shock moments, because I didn't remember this part either, where Wraith comes back and snaps Thomas's neck. Like, what the fuck?
He is here to win.
Woo!
Oh, you should.
So rude.
And again, like, manic desperation. He really, like, this shit has to work tonight, or he's fucked. He knows he's spent all this energy. Like,
yeah,
spend the last few...
Burning it all night now. Yeah, I died.
You're committed to it. Keep burning it and win.
You know what, Wraith? That's called counting your chickens before they've hatched. You were counting on that power, but you didn't wait until you had it.
Okay.
I think it's funny that Wraith's blood is pink.
You gotta burn money to make... You gotta burn power to make power.
Klingon blood pink?
Yep.
Weird.
Klingons.
There you
go. Pink blood.
Good call. So Klingons are really just maybe sex vampires?
Oh, God.
It's potential.
Unfortunate.
Well, I mean, I guess, obviously, Klingons
everyone's
like
got
it.
Their thing, so...
Yeah, right, right. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Not Madge's anymore, because...
So then he starts using his gun to shoot, and basically just using the light from the fire blast, and that's... You've all been a roller coaster, or...
I've never been a roller coaster.
So you've ever been in a roller coaster?
I've been in one.
Or water fountain tunnel? A slide?
Like the log run?
Yeah, swimming pool?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And it just flashes a light and dark, light and dark, light and dark. And, like, that scares me. You've ever been in a rave?
It's like Space Mountain.
You've been in a rave and it's flashing light and dark and you see everyone, like, it's stop motion or whatever like that, right? Like,
yeah.
Using that to fight? Horrible, scary, terrible.
Yikes.
I don't like when video games go all dark and you have, like, just a flashlight.
And not
to find
very accurate because you can only tell once you've got the flash, but once you've got the flash, it's over. So by the time you reorient, it's already. Yeah, it's.
So the faster you shoot, the faster you get light, but the faster you waste bullets. And as we know, Harry, you know, loses bullets right when Rice is getting right up to him, but he's now on the floor. Harry hit him. That's nice. Right in the stomach, apparently. Just tore him through.
Not that it was all that effective, unfortunately.
Odds are in his favor. Got lucky at some point.
Slow him down.
Yeah. But it's something. I mean, dude's about to die. He's gotta try something.
Rafe, like, laughs because he thinks it's funny. Ugh. I'll deal with this.
Goddamn evil bastards always laughing.
And villain speeching.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Always a little bit more. But wait. There's another layer to the speechifying that Dresden has going on here.
It's like he wrote a script and, like, passed it out.
Well.
So first off.
Take the bait.
First off, get Wraith to admit that he thinks family is bullshit. Random combination of genes, total happenstance whose family you end up in, who gives a fuck.
How do they control people?
Mm. I mean, yes and no, but I mean, it does kind of, right? Like, this is a very big deal, too, because this is the first time Harry can draw on that. Like, he was my family, my only family. So it makes sense in a way for him to. And then, of course, Wraith's going to be like, fuck that.
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
I mean, it's not as random as other. I mean, yeah, specifically because he's like, you just took my only family, like, that's so important. And of course, Wraith's absolutely going to be like,
Wraith is the one who calls it random.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I mean, though. You're like, oh, it's very convenient that they got on this or they had the thing, but I'm like, I think that's a very appropriate. It's not quite as much of a non sequitur as it might otherwise be in other circumstances, you know? And it gives him a good way to lead into that, to get him on that very exact subject of admitting what he really thinks about family and how bullshit it is.
The second part of the villain speech, besides the family part, that he's got no reserves left.
Yeah, you're done. You gotta stay down sooner or later.
And he can't feed. He admits to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fucking annoying. I hate it. I can't wait till you're gone so I can feed again.
It's taught me patience, taught me some restraint, but no problem, because pretty soon now it will not be a problem of the past.
Right.
Bitch.
Bitch.
Say again.
And then, I like this part too, and he's like, you know, I never did tell anyone about that. Like, how do you even know? My mom told me. Your mom's dead. Yes. Apparently she doesn't care about the rules.
Yeah,
okay.
He's like, yeah, well, you're all supposed to be immune to magic, so she just, yeah. It's a good line. She doesn't have much respect to the rules.
Yeah, which I do like. I like that little bit, like, she does what the fuck she wants.
That's how she got into all this mess in the first place. That's why the council got mad at her. That's how she ended up with you. That's how she ended up away from you. So you know what?
Yeah, and he's got some, like,
you know by now.
Magic speakers to the painting room. Okay, yeah, he didn't go into their soul site, but he still would have heard the conversation after that, and he's still like, who told you that information? Like, didn't they not, like, end up on the gallery floor and be like, did you see Mom? I saw Mom. Did you see Mom? She said to say I love you. She told me to tell you I love her. And Wraith is like, who told you this?
Yeah, I guess, but in all, I don't know. I'd have to go back exactly to what the conversation was, but like you say, he could have just been like, what the fuck? Right?
Weirdos.
Because again, we know that it always happens, like, again, it was like 45 minutes of storytelling, but it supposedly happens in like 2 seconds of real time. So if they were just suddenly, you know, maybe he's like, I don't know.
Again, he can't have seen what happened in the every conversation happened in the gallery. Like, Thomas and Harry couldn't talk in their minds.
Yeah. No, I know. I think I've had that before, too, where I went back and I would be like, how would he, what? But
you'd
I
think,
don't know.
Like, Harry would have accidentally screwed up the recording anyway.
Yeah, well.
Oops. Apparently, he wasn't as stressed out in that room as he should have been.
Not until the end. He only just found out this life-shattering thing of that his mother left him a message and he's got a brother, but no, that wasn't enough for to get his, you know.
We're staying cool and calm and relaxed today after everyone's been murdered like 8 times in the last hour.
It's only like terror surprise that does it, not just like surprise surprise. Like if you just like wish me happy birthday, I'd be like, fine, but you know.
This next moment is like the best. Like, it's so good.
Mic drop, hello.
Boom.
And the lights come on and so comes out Laura.
Thanks, Harry. I'll take it from here.
Wait.
You've done enough.
What?
Wraith trying to like save face at the last minute. She's like, yeah, no, dumb.
I mean, he's quick. He's quick about it, right? He instantly tries to backpedal and be like, I'm just saying things to throw off the wizard and blah. And yeah, like,
you know I'm not. You know, more of a century that this has been like, we're fine. Mm-hmm. Really, Daddy? Really?
I don't like, he's the one who hurt Thomas, not me.
Right?
Can't love it. Harry's just really just played everyone's strengths and weaknesses to like his complete advantage.
What a leader. What a coach. What a captain. You did beautifully, man. Set the play out so well.
He's trying.
And even Laura's like, wow, I'm impressed. Good job. You made me your cat's paw.
Yeah. And it's right? true. Laura gets to hear the whole big bad plan and admittance straight from Lord Wraith's mouth. He's fully admitted that he's now weak, can't feed,
hasn't been able
can't
to
do shit, and the only way to get over it is to make sure Harry dies. Great. All Laura has to do is keep Harry alive forever. Or Thomas, one or the other, but Thomas is dead now. He just got his neck snapped.
Yeah, a little bit, one or the other, something, you know.
But really, it's in Laura's best interest to keep the two of them alive now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She should try harder for the rest of the series.
That's all I'm saying. That would be a good plot point. But yeah, it's, even Harry's response, he's like, don't feel so bad, I look so stupid.
It's like, it's so yeah, that's stupid. A great line.
My God, you actually, it's like, it's going to go back to Princess Bride. Fezzik, you did something right.
I won't let it go to my head.
So now Laura decides to have a word in private?
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah.
Papa?
Renegotiate terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is an interesting twist to it here as well, though, because Wraith is like, they don't follow House Wraith. They follow me. And Laura's like, yeah. That's okay. That's fine. They can keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you.
Talk about a cat's paw.
Ooh, and talk a full circle. Get what you give. Oh, you know what I mean? Laura's like
poetic justice.
Oh.
Laura starts undressing.
Laura's like, oh yeah, now we're whoa.
And really, all Harry said to do is we just need to get his reserves low enough and we're good to go. Yeah, lower than Laura's hunger.
Yep. That's a good solution. Really.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You are a genius.
Love it.
I forgive you for how stupid I called you the rest of this book. Yes, yeah. Gather up your cop, gather up your brother, get out of here, Harry. I got things to do now. I got a whole court to take over.
Oh, shit. Gotta go.
Yeah. But wait, things still aren't over.
Oh, my God, this fucking moment here.
Turns out Thomas's neck may be twisted, but not fully snapped, or he healed it enough. Vampire, he's still breathing a little bit. So wait.
Great, yeah.
Okay, cool. We can save Thomas. So not only is Thomas's body still moving and breathing, all of a sudden, up pops Pinface, Pinhead. What the hell's that guy with all that? That's the thing, right? Pinhead?
Pinhead, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Madge is not yet down for the count.
I am returned, mortal man, the demon said through Madge's dead lips, and I remember thee. Thou and I, we have unfinished business between us. Then there was a bubbling hiss, and the corpse deflated like an empty balloon.
Wait, what?
I howled when I saw that. Like, just, I forgot completely. It was like, it's what the fuck?
See, that's what happens when you go...
Whoa, okay.
Possessing stupid, frail, mortal bodies. They do nothing for you once you...
It's great, cosmic power, healing space. So the scariest of the scary is back. Yikes.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And there was this other part, too, when Thomas is just basically giving up and doesn't want to. Thomas, don't you know? Justine is still alive.
What? Okay.
Oh, in that case, let me just stand up and be fine.
That's great.
A moment later, he drew in a ragged breath.
It's like Thomas blinked several times and then seemed to lose consciousness. He lay there breathing quietly and his cheeks were tracked with the trails of luminous silver tears. My brother would be okay.
He lived. Now he has to pay Kincaid. Oh. Damn it.
I forgot about that. I was like, that's Tuesday in Switzerland. Oh, yeah. Had to finish the next chapter to be like, what the fuck is he talking about? Oh, shit. Forgot.
I really thought I was going to die back there.
Oh, no.
Shit.
Now what?
Kincaid, I think, would have been able to resurrect Harry and been like, bitch, you're
$100,000. You're not getting out of it that easy. Oh, no.
Ivy, bring his ass back.
Just imagine that would totally Harry be like, okay, I got the crap beat out of me. I'm just going to let go. I'm going to walk into that light, totally dying. And then exactly like waking up a couple days later, like Kincaid over him and being like, oh, but he'd be like, fuck me. Come on.
Either I kill you for not paying or you pay me. Not someone else that kills you. You don't pay.
You are not getting out of this, sir.
Goddamn supernatural bullshit.
And this is only temporary. Once you pay me, you're back to dead.
Right?
Yeah, I just want the money. Just Ivy, just break into his assets. What does he have? $50. All right, it's mine. Give it.
It's a little bit of gold dust. It looks like it used to be a ball.
Yes. Like a big-ass nugget in there. Now there's
just... How much can you sell depleted uranium for?
Probably a lot.
To the right wizard. Like an original Star Wars poster, okay? At least $300.
At least.
This concludes our episode 12.29, He Who Deflates Behind. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.